We have one more message tonight. One of the things that I wanted to do when I came is I wanted to take you from point A to point B. And I recognize the Lord does that often. One of the things that I had you do last night, the night before, maybe you're ready for it now. If we're going to walk by faith, how do we walk by faith? First of all, God what? Speaks. And then we hear. And then we what? We believe. And then we what? Act. Okay? And so if you're going to walk by faith in the area of missions, you need to hear God speak. It's good to give to missions. I'll be honest with you. I think probably, preacher, most people give to missions and they give sacrificially and they give above their tithe and all that's good. But a lot of times they're not really giving by faith. They're giving by budget. And I'm not saying that if you'll give by faith, you'll give more or you'll give less. I'm saying that God wants to work in your life. But we got to hear from Him first. Faith without hearing from God is not faith. You have to hear from God. And you have to recognize that it's God speaking and believe God for what He said and then act on it. So I want to remind you of that. It's my last chance to remind you of this week. This week, here's what I did. I came to a church that I know is missions-minded. I know that. I've been here before, preached a missions conference here before. I've seen your board and how you give to missionaries. I look at your boards and see how you take and have missionaries, and missionaries are important to you. You're at least missions-minded. But my goal this week has been to take you from where you are further down the road to where God wants you to be. So I started off at the beginning of the week talking about what everything should start with, and that's prayer. We need to pray. We not only need to pray as a church and get together like we had prayer here a moment ago, but we as individuals need to invest ourselves into the missionaries by praying personally for the missionaries. I would recommend you take a missionary and you learn everything about him and pray for him and pray for him and pray for him, and then sometime go to a different missionary. But focus, sometimes we look at all of them and all of them lose, but if you'll pray for one very specifically, very specifically. I prayed for Charles today, Charles Siegberg, because he's mine, and so I prayed for him today. But pray for your missionaries. Pray for your missionaries and find a way to become a co-laborer with your missionary. And prayer is part of that, no doubt about it. But become a co-laborer. Pray for them. Ask God to help them. Become a co-laborer. And then realize if you're going to reach people with the gospel, you've got to have a vision. Find a vision. Find something that moves you toward missions. I mentioned the other night, 60 million people a year die. And if the Word of God is true, by the way, it is true, someone say amen, probably at least 45 to 50 million of those people who died go to hell. Every single year. More go to hell than go to heaven. And when God used the words He used was, few that find it, few go to heaven, many go to hell. That isn't one for one. I don't believe it's two for one. It's at least three for one. Every time four people die, three of them went to hell, one went to heaven. Get that vision. Get that vision. Remember the young lady, the young girl that was up in, on the third floor, and she's crying, help, help. And a man down there has a daughter, and he saw her, and he said, I had to go up and help her. Why? Because he could see his own daughter could die that way. Get a vision. Get a vision. Get personally involved. Have some compassion. Love them. And then have a plan. By the way, part of the plan is make sure you're reaching those you can reach personally and then praying for those who have to go beyond. And then we spoke about Paul's motivation. Tonight, and then last night, we spoke about the corporate, doing it together, cooperative missions. Tonight, I want to take you, I want to bring you where I really wanted you to go from the very beginning. I want to talk about what's the difference between being missions-minded and having a missionary spirit. Missions-minded, not bad, it's good, better to have a missionary spirit. So I want to speak tonight on the subject of having a missionary spirit. Would you stand as we read from Romans chapter 1 this evening? Again, Paul is our example. Paul in Romans chapter 1, verse 13, it says this, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit also, or I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor, both to the Greek and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." I want to speak again, I said this evening, I want to speak on having a missionary spirit as opposed to being missions-minded. And I hope that I can make them clear to you tonight. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, bless, I pray, our time together tonight. Lord, as we wrap up the presentation of missions for this year, I pray, Lord, your will would be done in our lives individually and cooperatively for your glory and your honor. Would you please guide and direct, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Pastor mentioned something last night, and I said, oh, that's good. He talked about how men of God used to, in years gone back in the 1700s, 1800s, they would often have a journal, and they would write in a journal. Then, in other words, they'd write their daily activities, and they would have this big journal that they wrote in all their life. And we have a lot of the history of missionaries because of the journals in which they wrote. I'll read from a journal here in just a minute. But on May 24th, 1738, a very discouraged missionary very unwillingly went to a Moravian house church. He would write in his journal, he said, "About a quarter before nine, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ and Christ alone for salvation, and an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death." That missionary was John Wesley. Just a few months before, Wesley, in his journal, had written, "I went to America to convert the Indians, but oh, who shall convert me?" He said, what was going on? He had wrestled with his salvation. His own salvation, he would report in his journal sometime later, for 15 years. That evening in 1738, his question was answered. That evening, he took and for the first time trusted Christ for his salvation, not some form of his good works. Out of that came the great Wesleyan revival that swept across the 18th century England. The preacher preached from that evening in that Moravian house church. He preached from Romans chapter 1, verse 13 through verse 17, which we read just a moment ago. The Great Reformation was launched in 1517 when Martin Luther himself, from that very passage, understood the meaning that God's righteousness was found only in Christ and the just shall live by faith. These two men who were trying to do ministry but lost, and by the way, there have been Baptist preachers who tried to do ministry and discovered they were lost because they trusted in their good works. They trusted in their religion. these two men, and you don't, please don't equate them to the churches that are named after them today, because they're extremely different. But these two men started a great reformation. They were not just missions minded, they had a missionary spirit. And they caught the spirit of a missionary spirit through the Holy Spirit in the writings of the Apostle Paul. Outside of Jesus Christ, Paul was one of the greatest New Testament missions-minded missionaries in all the Word of God, in all of our history. What if I were to ask you tonight, are you missions-minded? What would be your reply? How would you say, yes, I am, and here's how I know I'm missions-minded? What would be the basis of that reply? You might say this, well, I believe the Bible teaches missions, and I believe the Bible. You might also say, in my devotions, I always pray for our missionaries. By the way, I hope both of those things are true. Amen. I have just always been interested in missions and missionaries and their experiences in different countries. I'm interested in their efforts to preach the gospel around the world. Or you might even say this, I always give to missions. And listen to me for a moment tonight. These responses are good. And they're proper. But they describe a mission-minded believer. But you could be missions-minded without having a missionary spirit. The many believers in churches feel that if they give and they pray for missions, they have a missionary spirit. Giving and praying for missions is important and does fulfill the missionary's desires and meets the needs, so to speak. It also satisfies the conscience and duty and interest. And therefore, we define as having a missionary spirit, but I suggest to you that praying and giving for missions is not always synonymous with having a missionary spirit. The work of every believer of the local church is to carry out Christ's command of evangelizing the world. That is our commission, and we call it the Great Commission, or commission. We're to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to every nation and to every creature under the sun. We can't truly do what has been commanded us without having, can I say this, not being missions-minded, but having a missionary spirit. Being missions-minded will cause us to get involved in missions. Missions-minded will cause us to be involved in the local church, but it shouldn't stop there. My desire for every individual is that claims to be born-again believer is that they develop a mission spirit within them. The question I'm trying to create in your minds is, what's a mission spirit? Tell me the difference between being missions-minded and having a missionary spirit. I think Romans chapter 1 answers that. I think it really does. So let me give you just some thoughts this evening, because what I want when I came is that you're a missions-minded church, and that's no doubt about that. And praise God you are. But there's more. There's having a missionary spirit from within. And that's really what a missions conference ought to bring you to. I said at the beginning of the conference something you already knew. I'm not going to tell you how much to give. That's not my job. That's above my pay grade. That's God's job. You get a hold of God, let God speak to you and tell you what you ought to give. And by the way, I don't believe there's a formula for that. I believe you get a hold of God and God speaks to you. When He speaks to you, you say, okay, God, I believe what you said, and you act on it. But can I tell you, there are some things involved in developing a missionary spirit. Look, if you would, at verse 14. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Can I say this? A missionary spirit involves a sense of obligation. A sense of obligation. Let me tell you what Paul is not saying, because I think our world has mixed it up a little bit. Paul is not saying that he was obligated because of some past action for which he was trying to make atonement. You had mentioned that just a moment ago. And I was thinking about those poor people in the Philippines. Every year when it comes to Easter, there's a certain segment of the Catholics that are over there, and they beat themselves with whips. They literally take their shirts off, and they literally beat themselves with whips. Some of them have themselves placed on a cross and nails put through their hands. And they beat themselves. Why? To make atonement. You can't make atonement. So only one person can make atonement. He did. And at the end, like you said, he said, it is finished. What I'm saying is that's not what Paul's doing here. He wasn't preaching to make up for having been a religious bigot or persecutor of the church prior to his salvation. He wasn't thinking when he said this, I must do good for all the bad that I've done. We see groups that do that. But there's no atonement aside from Jesus Christ. What obligation was he talking about? It was an obligation. Paul felt the weight and the debt and the sense of duty in personally getting out the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can be missions-minded and never go tell a person about Christ. You can read the letters and you can receive, you can take and give to the offering, and you can pray for missionaries and all those things. That's missions-minded. But a missionary spirit within is a sense of obligation to go yourself. Maybe not to Uganda, as Brother Charles did, but a missions-minded person feels that obligation. Paul was motivated by a sense of gratitude and thanksgiving for his salvation. There ought to never come a time that you don't realize how privileged you are that God sent somebody to you to tell you about Christ. Pastor mentioned last night that I still mention John Ross. John Ross had never heard of this man. I went in the military, was gone, and he helped me get settled off at Air Force Base in Omaha, Nebraska, or Bellevue, Nebraska, actually, and he helped me get settled. But John was sent there for a bigger purpose than that, to tell me about Jesus. John had a missionary spirit. John had a missionary spirit. We have a glimpse of Paul's heart. Take your Bibles, if you would. I want you to see this. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1 for a moment. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We have a glimpse of his heart here. Paul is writing his son in the faith. Again, investing in others. Not just through finances and by prayer, but personally investing in Timothy, a missionary spirit. Paul gives us in chapter 1, verse 8, he says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, who hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause also I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul felt an obligation. To go from missions-minded to a missionary spirit, there must be a sense of obligation. Vertically, a sense of obligation to the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation wasn't by his zealous efforts, but by the grace of God working the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. We're obligated. We're obligated. Paul was overwhelmed that Jesus Christ would save him. Think about who you are today. God saved you because he loved you. You may have had a great background. I know there are young people in this room and parents in this room. You've raised your children in church and you've raised them around the gospel. And no doubt you began to pray for them either at conception or at birth or at some time. You began to pray, boy, I hope they get saved. You had somebody in your corner from the time you were conceived, from the time that you were born. You had somebody in your corner that wanted you to know Jesus. There's the others of us who had nobody in our corner. We didn't have a parent that knew Christ. We didn't have a church that just bothered to fire about us doing right all the time. We didn't have that. You know what we had? The world. But God said, no, no. I love you too much. I'm going to send a John Ross to you. I'm going to send a John Ross to you to tell you what you need to know about Christ. It's going to be your choice, but I'm going to send a John Ross to you. John Ross had a missionary spirit. He was mission-minded, I'm sure. Be real honest, I never actually went to church with John Ross on a regular basis. He was gone by the time I got to that point. But I know this, he personally made a difference. If you don't personally make a difference, you may be missions minded and thank God for it, not criticizing it. But you need to have a missionary spirit. You need to have a missionary spirit. Listen, Paul viewed himself as a servant of Jesus Christ, not the captain of his own life. He served under Christ as a minister. And as a servant of Jesus Christ, he was able to be faithful to the things of God and not to himself. Say, why did he say no to self? Because God had a greater purpose. That's a missionary spirit. That's a missionary spirit. Paul knew this pearl of great price, the gospel, couldn't be hid. Couldn't hide it in here. He had to show it to everybody because everybody could have it. And it was important. As Christ's disciples, we're obligated to dispense the spiritual truths of the gospel to the whole world. Not just to send others who are willing to go, but to go ourselves. That's a missionary spirit. That's a missionary spirit. Look, if you would, at verse 15. Missionary spirit involves an obligation, a personal obligation to go yourself. But also a missionary spirit involves commitment. He said in verse 15, So as much as is in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. He says, as much as is in me. You ever stop to think? We always say, I am ready. We key on that phrase, and that's a good phrase. But go back to the other phrase. Where it says, so as much as is in as in me is. What's in him? What's in him? The Holy Spirit. What's in him? The knowledge of the gospel. What's in him? The ability to speak. God had given him the ability and placed within him the ability to make a difference. When I got saved, listen, I didn't grow up in church. But all of a sudden, I started thinking about, I mentioned this, I think, a few nights ago. All of a sudden, I started thinking about my family who knew nothing. I mean, my family didn't know Christ. And of course, to me, and I got touched this morning about my mom, but my mom, I was afraid at that point, my mom was going to hell. If you got parents that are saved, you are so fortunate. I didn't know. And I got to thinking, my mom was in poor health. My mom, by the way, fought cancer 4 times. And I just got to thinking, I can't let mom go to hell. I can't let mom go to hell. And our preacher gets up and he preaches this message on how can you go out into the world and tell them about Christ and not tell your own parents. I'm in California. She's in Oklahoma. And I'm thinking to myself, I can't let that happen. My wife is understanding she is. I said, I got to go tell Mom. And I got on a military hop and flew from Travis Air Force Base over to Tinker Air Force Base on a hop, got off, had my mom pick her up, and I went for one reason, tell Mom about Jesus. Why? Because I couldn't stand the thought of her not knowing Jesus and me go to heaven and her go to hell. And by the way, if you have a parent that isn't saved, you need to be praying for them. But you need to reach out to them. You need to reach out to them. I'm saying he's an apostle. Apostle is a messenger. A messenger with the authority and a commission. We're to be sent ones. We need to have a commitment to reaching the lost, not reaching the lost through others, but reaching the lost ourselves. Why? Because that's a missionary spirit. A person who has a true missionary spirit is ready to take the advantage of every opportunity to share the gospel. A true missionary spirit isn't solely about Nigeria, Uganda, Thailand, Scotland, the Philippines, wherever it is. It's about where I live today. It's about where I live today. That's a missionary spirit. To have a missionary spirit means I'll go to the field if I'm called to do so, but if not, I'm going to go where I am. That's a missionary spirit. The only difference between us and called missionaries is that we have a different role in a different geographical location. Even in the local church, there's a difference between you and your pastor, but you should still have a missionary spirit. And this has happened over time, and I know that you probably were relating to this earlier. Churches get on fire for God, and people are winning people to Christ. And then there's those churches that's the pastor's job. No, it's not. It's all our jobs. We all have to reach somebody for Christ. Now, we do it in different ways, and we have different venues we get to do that. But a missionary spirit is a sense of obligation. It's a commitment to share the gospel. Look at verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. I want you to notice the courage. It takes courage. Now, I'm not trying to be unkind, but being missions-minded doesn't take a lot of courage. You wrote a check, put it in the offering. By the way, good thing to do, not criticizing, but it's different than having a missionary spirit. None of us want to seem dumb to anybody. None of us want to be criticized by somebody else. None of us want to be the outsider looking in to the cool group. We all want to be involved. And sometimes if you decide to take and use the gospel and share the gospel with somebody, you may end up on the outside. Remember I told you about Sue Smith. He's always afraid someone's going to slam the door in her face. And so she didn't want to go out and tell people about Christ because she was afraid they're going to slam the door in her face. And we worked so hard to get her to go. I mean, it was weeks and weeks. And finally she went, and what happened? Someone slammed the door in her face, and she never went out again. You know why? She lacked the courage to keep going. She felt personal, the rejection. And it wasn't of her, it was of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. We need to have courage. The world is becoming more anti-Christian than in recent times, and persecutions are on the rise. There's no doubt about it. We never faced what Paul faced. Nobody in this room has ever faced what Paul faced. But we're afraid. And we need to have courage. Being missions-minded means to have courage. We can't compare the persecution in the Middle East today to what we face. We can't, but we're still fearful. Listen, if we don't stand in the midst of what we are experiencing here, number one, will increase. It will get worse. If we don't start standing and standing for our Christian rights and being vocal about our Christian rights, the other side's going to become more vocal. They will. But let me say, second of all, persecution will get worse. Are you ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Are you? Now, your first inclination would be, no, I'm in church. Well, let's test that. Are you open with those you know that you're a baptized member of the local church, a Bible-believing church? Do you let everybody know that you go to church? Do you ask blessing over a meal in public? My mom was so excited. You got to hear this. My mom, of course, I witnessed to her. She ended up in church, was in church for the rest of her life, by the way. And she came to me at Christmas one year. I used to fly them in every year to where we were, and mom and would spend Christmas with us. One year she got there, I think it was second or third year that I flew her in, and her and my stepdad, Big Raj, they came in, and she was all excited. She said, we started praying in public. I said, you did? She said, like, out loud. I said, you did? Yeah. And she said, even Roger did it. Now, Roger wasn't even saved. Even Roger did it. She was so excited. How many times have you said, well, you know, my friends, we're here, we're getting ready to eat. I probably ought to say, let's pray. But I don't want to look weird. I know, you're looking at me and you're saying, too late. But I don't want to be weird. Are you ashamed? Well, no. It's just a little awkward. Yeah, Paul was used to being awkward. Do you pray in public? Do you speak up when our Lord's name is profaned? I mean, think about it. Do you speak up? Do you say, I don't mean to be unkind, but could you not do that? That really offends me. We're in an offended world. Don't worry, they understand what offended is. They're offended about everything. They're offended about boys being boys and girls being girls and, you know, all that kind of stuff. You say, listen, you use the Lord's name in vain, it offends me. Please don't do that. You say, what are they going to do? Well, I found out that most of the time they go, I didn't mean that. Okay, you didn't mean that. Please don't do that again. When a lost person says, well, after all religion is good. We get there the same way. There's no difference between Allah and Jesus. Do you speak up? Do you speak up? We're worshiping the same God. Listen, if you're not willing to speak up in those areas, you say, well, it's not normal to do that. We're not supposed to be normal. One of the things, and I always thought I was going to get fired. I never did. But I always thought I was going to get fired because I told them, you don't use the Lord's name in vain around me. I work in a hotel. I'm a pastor of a church, and I don't put up with that. So who are you talking to? Manager. Regional manager. It got around to when they'd hire someone new, they'd bring them in to the front desk. I was the front desk agent. They'd bring them in, and they said, now, by the way, around Michael, you don't cuss. He don't like it. And he will tell you about it. And I did. You say, was you wanting to get fired? No, but I want to be a Christian more than I want to be a front desk agent in a hotel. Listen. There are foreign countries sending missionary here. Did you know that? There are foreign countries, churches, I'm talking about people who are good, fundamental churches, that a missionary is looking at what goes on in America and is coming here because we need saving. And any nation has as much drunkenness and addictions and immorality and abortions as we do should be viewed as in need of the gospel. Mission starts here and goes out. That's the biblical pattern. Do you have the courage to confront the world with what they might not like, but what we know they desperately need? That's a missionary spirit. Being mission-minded means I want the gospel to go out, and I'll pray for the missionaries, and I'll support the missionaries, and I'll read their letters, and I'll care about it. And all that's good, but I don't think that's really what God wants ultimately in our church. He wants us to have a missionary spirit. A missionary spirit comes from having an obligation to personally go out yourself and share the gospel with everybody. A missionary spirit means that you are committed to it. It's not just Saturday morning when you go out, but it's when the Holy Spirit taps on your shoulder and says to you at work, you need to witness to that person. You need to talk to that person. That's a missionary spirit, a sense of commitment. And a missionary spirit requires courage. Courage. Courage to do what isn't normal, what isn't easy. You feel the obligation to spread the gospel. You display a commitment and a courage by doing it. That's a missionary spirit. So I ask you tonight this question as I close. Are you missions minded? Or do you have a missionary spirit? Now, if you're being honest with yourself, you may not like the answer. But that's the first step in rectifying that before the Lord. I don't know about you, but Christ doesn't want anyone to go to hell, and we shouldn't want it either. I thought the most amazing thing was when I went into the ministry, I told somebody, they elected me to be pastor. Shock, and I was shocked. I get to do full time what I was already doing full time, standing up and speaking for Christ. That's a missionary spirit. Are you missions minded? Or do you have a mission spirit? Which is it? Father, bless, I pray, the message tonight. I pray, Lord, with this challenge will simply come the desire to not only be missions-minded, which is good and right and pop and the proper thing to do, but, Lord, that we might become, if not yet, missions-minded, that we might feel the obligation to share Christ with others, that we might be committed to sharing Christ by our actions, by our lives, and by our words with others. And that when the devil tells us you shouldn't do that and tries us to get us to be faint and to be scared, we have the courage to step up and tell others about Jesus. Would you please speak to our hearts tonight? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you a question. Here's the question. How many would say tonight, and you're being honest, Pastor, while I am missions minded, I don't know that I have a missionary spirit. And really, my need tonight is to ask God to help me to have a missionary spirit. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You just raise your hand and say, that's me tonight. That's me tonight. Yes, 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 yes. Might be that you might say this. I had a missionary spirit, but life has come along and now I'm merely just missions minded. What I need is a missionary spirit. Just raise your hand and say, that's what I need. Let me pray for you tonight. God's speaking to your heart. Listen, it's good to be missions minded. please pray and ask God what He'd have you to do. But can I say the greater need all of us have is to have a missionary spirit. Father, would you please bless those that raise their hand? And Lord, I pray that you'd use this message just to encourage us, speak to our hearts, and help us, give us the opportunity to develop that missionary spirit by doing what we know we ought to do. Lord, we love you. We thank you. As God speaks your heart, you ask God to help you. Whether you're in your place there at an altar, would you ask God to help you have a missionary spirit? To have a missionary spirit.
All right. Amen. Good preaching tonight. Good challenge from God's Word. To remind us of our obligation. We're really, if you're a Christian, you are a missionary. We kind of have a tendency, we've kind of rephrased things, and we think of those people on the walls as missionaries, but we're all missionaries. And we all have a mission field. Maybe your house, your household, I mean what I mean by that, your family that you live with, that could be, that's definitely a, if you've got lost people in your household, you're a missionary to them. You're a witness for Christ. But most of us, where you work, where you go to school, very often there, God has placed you there. You know, he said something about the fellow that led him to the Lord there in the military, that, you know, that guy had joined he was in the Air Force, but the reason he was there was to tell Brother Young about Jesus. God does that. You think about that. God will put a person someplace geographically and positionally in your life for the very purpose to witness to you of Him. I'd lived to 19 years in my hometown of 16,000 people. Never one time did I ever... I never understood the gospel. Nobody ever told me how to get to heaven. And I moved all the way to Oklahoma, into Oklahoma City even. I spent a little time in Tulsa. Nobody ever told me how. But I got to Oklahoma City and worked with a fella that became concerned for my soul. You may have a neighbor like that. He's come all the way across the country, moved in next door to you or down the road from you. And nobody's ever told them about Jesus, and God put him there because you live down the street. And he wants you to contact them. Amen? Amen. Well, what a wonderful thing. I appreciate the preaching this week, the challenge from God's Word. And we do want to have a missionary spirit. We want that. He also mentioned, you know, that I was praying, but he mentioned that often when we get saved and get born again and we begin to understand what it was Jesus did for us, we get really excited. We think, man, oh man. And we want everybody to know. But after a couple of doors slammed in your face, and not literally necessary on visitation, but after a couple of people say, you know, don't talk to me about that anymore. We lose that. We say, well, I'm not going to put up with that abuse. But it's really not abuse. And made a statement as well. They're not rejecting you. They're refusing Jesus. And but probably all of us mocked Jesus at a time or so in our lost life, made fun. Thank God Jesus didn't say, all right, that's it. Last chance for you. Amen? Aren't you glad for that? I am. I mock Christianity. I didn't know what it was, but I mocked it. I'm glad he didn't say, you jerk. I'm done. I don't have nothing to do with you. I'm glad he didn't do that. He sent somebody after me. He came after me. Amen.